It is indeed a privilege to be speaking about the glories of Govardhan. Although I do not find myself qualified to do the same, for my own purification and with the purpose of following the instructions of the authorities, there is one particular way of getting the best of the bad bargain. I seek your blessings, and in giving your blessings, you are praying at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath and Sri Govardhan, that they may inspire me to speak something about this topic. The topic of Govardhan is generally divided into several sections, starting from its history, advent, Mahatmya, Govardhan Puja, Indra's wrath, Lord Krishna's lifting of the Govardhan, and finally the demigods and the Brajavasis, they coronate Krishna as the real Indra or the king of the universe as Govinda. However, we may not be able to go into all those topics today. Due to paucity of time, we have many other functions to perform. So briefly, we will just narrate the story of Govardhan Puja, and then let us see what happens. One day, Krishna and Balram, they saw their parents and elderly members making some preparations, some sort of a preparation of a yajna. Of course, Krishna is all-knowing. He knew exactly what is happening. However, he inquired from his father, "Please tell me, what is this yajna you are preparing for? Is it according to some sort of a tradition, or is it according to the scriptures? Please tell me, I would like to know." Upon this inquiry, Nanda Maharaj remained silent, thinking this young boy would not be able to understand the intricacies of performing a yajna. But Krishna did not leave it at that. He persisted. And he said, "Father, nothing should be kept secret amongst the members of the family. So please tell me in detail what exactly this yajna is about. Is it according to the Vedic injunction, or is it a popular ceremony? Kindly let me know in detail." On hearing this inquiry from Krishna, Nanda Maharaj explained, "This is more or less a traditional ceremony. And the purpose is that we are dependent on Indra for rains. And since he gives us very good rains, it is a kind of a thanksgiving. Or you may say it's like paying a tax. And we have done it for so many years. and we are very happy, so we would like to continue. However, Lord Krishna wanted to once and for all make it very clear that the demigods, whatever benedictions they do give, they get it only after it is sanctioned by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he wanted to make it very clear that the benefits and the results we get by worshipping demigods is temporary and it is for temporary purposes. So, Krishna suggested, after giving many logical, philosophical and common sense arguments to all these senior gopas who had assembled over there, that for us, Govardhan and Vrindavan, the cows and the Brahmins, these are important. Why should we worship Indra? He went on to say that Indra, he gives rain which falls on the mountains, on the oceans and here. So what is special? Why should we worship him? The Brijavasis, headed by Nanda Maharaj, who initially tried to resist Krishna's arguments, ultimately accepted his point of view. But still, Nanda Maharaj said, okay, if you wish that we should worship Govardhan, I will arrange another sacrifice, another puja, and another celebration for that. But for now, let us continue our sacrifice for Indra. Krishna put his foot down. He said, Baba, when will you make those preparations? When will you go to this and that? Everything is ready now. Let us just pick what we have and go to Govardhan. And let us perform Govardhan Puja. As usual, the Brijavasis, they always accept what Krishna says. Although he was a little boy of 7 years, he had a way of getting his things done. And they accepted it. So, they inquired from him, what exactly do you want us to do? How should we worship Govardhan? Krishna explained that first of all, we should call all the Brahmins and they should be chanting the Vedic hymns. We should decorate the cows, worship the cows, and all the ingredients that we have, all the ghee, all the sugar, all the yogurt, vegetables, fruits, we should prepare huge offerings and offer all these preparations to Govardhan. And after this offering is done, we should circumambulate the Govardhan and distribute all this prasad to all the Brijavasis, including the people who are in the lower caste, the chandalas, the dog eaters, the animals, the dogs. This prasad should be distributed to everyone, and huge quantities of grains should be given in charity to the brahmanas. Thus, the residents of Braja, under the instructions of Krishna, they were very honest and simple cowherd men. So they accepted Krishna's proposal and executed in detail everything he advised. They performed the Govardhan worship and the circumambulation of the hill. First of all, they made these huge mountains of food preparations. The liquid preparations were like lakes, and the solid preparations were like mountains. Each and every Brijavasi, he put in his best into it, and they made this huge, huge offering for Govardhan under the instructions of Lord Krishna. The gopis, they dressed very luxuriantly, and they were seated in the bullock carts, and they were circumambulating. The cows were very beautifully decorated. They were circumambulating. The brahmanas, they were chanting the Vedic hymns and performing the yajnas. And the gopas and Krishna's friends were dancing and singing while they were circumambulating the Govardhan. This beautiful offering, it was performed, and all the residents, they were astonished to see that Krishna himself took the form of Govardhan, and he accepted all the offerings. Those huge mountains of food and lakes of liquid preparations, the payasams and the dals and the curries, he just devoured all of that. And within moments, right in front of all the Brijavasis, he was asking for more. He was shouting, Anyor, Anyor. The Brijavasis brought all they had, everything. And finally, one of them offered tulsi leaf with tulsi flowers, and Govardhan was satisfied. And lo and behold, what happens the next moment is all that bhoga which was accepted by Govardhan comes back in front of everyone as Giriraj Mahaprasad. And that huge quantities of prasad was then distributed, as explained by Krishna, to each and everyone. Everyone was very happy. The festival was so satisfying. And when they all went home, there was one person who was not happy. That was Indra. When Indra saw that this sacrifice which was meant for me has now been offered to Govardhan, he became very angry. And he was saying that these Brijavasis, instead of following the tradition of making that offering to me, have now, under the influence of this one little talkative boy, decided to worship Govardhan. I will teach them a lesson. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj explains that Indra at this point of time was thinking that because the Brijavasis have become very rich and opulent, they have become very proud. And in their pride, they have come under the influence of this one little boy and decided to make the offering to Govardhan instead of making it to me. So here is a small explanation. It is a psychological analysis. His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj explains that this world is a mirror of our mind. If a person is proud, he sees pride in others. If a person has any of the other anarthas, he sees those anarthas in others. But if a person has goodness in him, he sees goodness in others. He gives the example of His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who went to the West, and in those lanes of Bowery where the hippies had all possible anarthas at the same time within them, what did Srila Prabhupada see? He saw goodness within them. He saw that spark of goodness, and he fanned that spark, and he elevated those hippies into happies. So also, because Indra was puffed up and proud, because he was considering himself to be the all in all above the supreme, he was thinking that the Brijavasis have also become proud. So he was trying to teach them a lesson. And in doing so, because he's in charge of the rain clouds, he instructed the Samvartaka clouds to go and pound over Vrindavan. Please understand, these Samvartaka clouds are kept for a particular purpose in reserve. When this entire creation has got to be annihilated, all the 14 planetary systems from Rasatala to Brahmaloka, these Samvartaka clouds, they pour incessant rain, and this entire universe is like one huge lake. That is the power of these clouds. We have heard that in one such ocean, Markandeya Rishi was, because he was given the benediction of staying alive for many kalpas, he had to go through this inundation, and he was water everywhere and not a drop to drink. That was his condition. So such clouds were released by Indra. At one point of time, the clouds were kind of hesitant. They were thinking that we may not be able to do this. Indra coaxed them. He pushed them. He said, "You go ahead and I will come behind you. I'll come with my thunderbolt, and I'll come with the wind gods. And my brief to you is inundate, flood, and completely destroy Vrindavan." So the clouds, following the instructions of their master, set out. And when these clouds, when they release rain, it does not come in drops. It comes in pillars. And huge tornadoes, hurricanes, tsunamis, all put together. When the Brijavasis saw this, they immediately understood that this is the wrath of Indra. The cows were trying to protect their calves. Everybody was shivering. It was icy cold. Along with the rain, there were hailstorms and ice falling. It was, in one sense, the end of Vrindavan. In that condition, the Brijavasis, what can they do? Whenever they are in trouble, they have only one recourse. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. O Krishna, the most fortunate one. Look, we just followed what you asked us to do and see what Indra is doing to us now. Krishna, please save your cows. Please save the calves. Please save the Brijavasis, the elderly, the women, the children. They are all suffering because we try to please you. Krishna pacified them, and in that heavy rain, in that heavy storm, he walked towards Govardhan without a single drop of water falling on him. By his inconceivable mystic powers, he made a path straight to Govardhan. And when he reached the Govardhan hill, with his left hand, as if a child picks up a mushroom and holds it up, Krishna picked up the Govardhan hill on the little finger of his left hand. Bol Krishna Kanhaiya Lal Ki, Sri Govardhan Dhari Ki. The size of Govardhan which we see today is much less than what it used to be. Of course, because we did not go into the details of the history, the original size of Govardhan was miles and miles high. It was 64 miles long, 40 miles wide, 18 miles high. And this Govardhan was brought to Vrindavan. It is explained in Garga Samhita that one day Nanda Maharaj is asking Upananda, please tell me, how did this Govardhan come to Brijabhumi? Do you know about it? Upananda says, Pandu, the king of Pandu, the father of Pandavas, once asked this same question to Bhishma. And Bhishma explained on the basis of Garga Samhita how this beautiful mountain, which is known as Govardhan, came to Brajabhumi. Originally, in Golok Vrindavan, where Srimati Radharani, Lord Krishna and their associates have their pastimes, one day, Srimati Radharani approached Krishna and said, my Lord, if you are pleased with my love, kindly create one place which will be so beautiful for us to have our pastimes. At that time, from the heart of Lord Sri Krishna, the love which emanated in the form of water and fire fell on the ground where they had this Rasa Leela in the form of a small pebble. While everybody was watching, this pebble became a stone. And the stone became a boulder. The boulder became a rock. The rock became a hillock. And the hillock became a mountain. This was Govardhan. With beautiful lakes and rivers and gardens and all the beautiful arrangements for the pastimes of Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani to take place, as a service to them, he appeared. Srimati Radharani explains that Govardhan is Haridas warrior. There are many who are Haridases, but he is the topmost. He is always trying to serve Lord Krishna, Srimati Radharani, and their servants. So this Govardhan, which appeared in Golok, had to come to Brajabhumi because Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani were to come on this planet Earth to perform their pastimes. So when it came time for them to come on this planet, Srimati Radharani told Krishna, unless Yamuna and Govardhan are there, I will not go with you. Krishna says, I have already made arrangements. They are already there. What had happened was, in the Salmali range of mountains, there was this mountain known as Dronachal. One day, Dronachal's wife gave birth to a beautiful baby mountain. Yes. Mountains were people. They had wings, they could fly, they could move about, they would give birth and they would have babies. So Dronachal, who was the father of Govardhan, was so happy. He was so blissful when Govardhan took birth. All the mountains, including Himalaya and all the other big mountains, they all came and paid their obeisances because they knew that he is the king of mountains. He has come from Vraja, from Goloka. So at that time, the size of Govardhan was very big. There was this Muni, Pulatsa Muni, who was visiting the Salmali range of mountains. And when he saw this beautiful, beautiful mountain, he was so attracted by it that he requested his father, Dronachal, can I take your son with me to Varanasi? That is my place of doing my bhajan. It is a flat land. There are no mountains there. Please, may I take him? With a heavy heart, Dronachal gave his permission because he could not refuse a rishi. But Govardhan at that time put a condition. He said, I will come with you on one condition. If you place me anywhere, I will not move from there. The rishi agreed. By his mystic power and by the arrangement made by Govardhan, he was able to lift him. And on his way to Varanasi, somehow he came over Brajabhumi. And by the inconceivable will of the Lord, while he was passing over that area, he had this urgent urge of responding to the call of nature. Have you heard how graphically Radhanath Swami explains this? It starts with a whisper, he says. And at that time, one feels that, okay, I can still tolerate it. And then, that whisper becomes a little louder. And very soon, before you know it, it is so loud that you have to respond. So Pulitzer Muni was no exception. He placed Govardhan, went about doing his duty, performed his ablutions, and came back to pick him. He could not pick up Govardhan because this is the promise he had given him. This is the promise very cleverly Govardhan had extracted from him, because he anyways wanted to come here to participate in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. This was the purpose of his coming to this material world. So he was very glad. Pulitzer Muni was angry and he cursed him. He said, I curse you that every day you'll reduce in size by the height of the diameter of a grain of mustard. Govardhan was very happy. He was very happy. He was thinking in his mind, how will Krishna and the Gopas be able to perform their pastimes on my high peaks? If I am shortened in height, then they will be able to do it. So when it came time for Krishna to come and perform his pastimes, Govardhan was exactly at the right size where these Gopas could play about it and perform their pastimes. Yes. So this Govardhan was lifted by this little Krishna, 7-year-old. Do we have any 7-year-old child in this audience here? You all know what a 7-year-old child looks like. Yeah. Left hand, little finger. Would you like to perform an experiment? Can we hold our left hand like this with a little finger up for a few minutes and see how long we will be able to hold it? We have a physical trainer coming to our temple. His name is Nityananda Roy. He gives physical training, exercises. So I asked him this question. He's a very proficient trainer. I said, Nityananda Prabhu, how long will you be able to... He makes us do all these various things, you know, take your hands up, down, right, left. I said, how long will you be able to hold this left hand up with a little finger? Can you please try it sometime? Yeah, no problem. Next day he comes and says, Prabhuji, I was able to do it. I was able to do it for half an hour. But I started feeling giddy. I was vomiting. I was passing stool, and for the next 2 days I was in bed. Here is a physical trainer, an adult, who only had to hold his hand up without any mountain on it. And he could not do it for more than half an hour. So please don't try it. Don't try this experiment. Just accept the results. Krishna was holding this huge mountain on his left hand and he invited all the Brijavasis. He says, come on, come. Come under the shelter and protection of Govardhan. He will protect you. We have had such a nice puja. We have made so many nice offerings to him. He will protect you. And then, just to reassure them, he said, do not worry. It will not fall down. Just come below it. This is our new home. Let us enjoy each other's association under this beautiful umbrella. All the gopas, all the gopis, all the cows, all the calves with their household belongings, carts, they all came on one word of Krishna. They never doubted in their minds that what will happen if this Govardhan falls on us? We'll be crushed. Just because he said that I will protect you under the Govardhan, they all came and stood there. The Brijavasis were amazed. They were enamored. All of them surrounded him from all directions, and Krishna was glancing upon them. Every cow, every calf, every deer, every gopa and every gopi, every living being under that hill was thinking within the heart of their hearts that Krishna is glancing only at me. Can you imagine? He has that capacity of reciprocating with each one of us simultaneously. In this material world, if we try to reciprocate with one person, the other person becomes envious. But here, each and every person was fully satisfied because he was thinking, not only thinking, actually Krishna was reciprocating with each and every Brijavasi. Because he is Rasraj. He is Rasabihari. He can do it. While they were under this hill, the Brahmanas, they were giving their blessings. Each person was reciprocating with Krishna according to his relationship. The elderly gopas and the gopis, they were smelling his head, giving him blessings. And Yashoda Mai was chastising Krishna, "My darling son, you are so impudent, so restless. You do not listen to anyone. Your senses are so much uncontrolled. For so many years we have been having peacefully in Vrindavan and performing Indra Puja. And you disturbed the whole Indra Puja and you made Indra angry. Now look what's happening." And then, out of motherly love, she reached out towards his arm and started massaging it. She could not tolerate that her little son was carrying such a huge load on his hand. She was saying, "Little Gopal, your hand is so soft, it is like butter. And this hill, it is so hard and heavy. I cannot tolerate the stress. You must be feeling pain." And then she, out of compassion, starts offering prayers to Govardhan. And she prays to Govardhan that, "Please, Govardhan, my child, he is so small. His hands are so soft. Please become very light. Do not give any pain to my child." Krishna says, "Mother, I don't feel any pain. This is fun. Carrying Govardhan, it's like I'm playing a game over here. It is not at all disturbing me." Meanwhile, Madhu Mangal, he's also known as Buttock. He's a Brahmin. He's a coward boy, but he's a Brahmin. He's telling Mother Yashoda, "Please do not be stressed." and please do not chastise Krishna for upsetting the Indra Puja. What is this insignificant Indra? Just see, because of Indra, we are having this beautiful festival over here. Mother Yashoda, now she is scolding Madhu Mangal and saying that you are speaking so boldly. Lifting such a huge mountain is not a joke. This is not a festival. Look at Krishna, he is perspiring. He has become pale. His face is like a lotus flower dried up in a snowstorm. Krishna said, Mother, actually, Govardhan is so merciful that it is floating. I am just keeping my hand below it. I am not holding it up. Yashoda says, if that is true, I will believe you. If Govardhan floats on its own and flies to the sky without your holding it. Madhu Mangal, he says, I will tell you a secret. It is not that the Govardhan is floating. And it is not true that Krishna is holding it. The secret is that it is because of my Brahma Tejas. Because of my Brahma Tejas, Govardhan is just balancing itself on the hands of Krishna. Mother Yashoda said, you impudent boy, you're telling jokes while I am burning in pain. Nanda Maharaj says to Mother Yashoda, why are you chastising Madhu Mangal? Krishna needs encouragement. And Madhu Mangal is encouraging him by telling him jokes. So let him encourage Krishna. Meanwhile, the Brijavasis are enchanted by seeing Giridhari's Tribhangi form, the three bent form. And they are all praising Krishna. One Brijavasi said, look, in his left hand he is holding Govardhan. And with his right hand, he is taking the flute and placing it on his lips. He is playing such sweet melodies. Madhu Mangal, he tells Krishna, Krishna, don't play that flute. Please don't play that flute. Stop it. We know what happens when you play the flute. The mountains, they become liquid. And the rivers, they become solid. So if you play the flute, this Govardhan will melt in ecstasy and all of us will drown under him. Gopas, they say, let's pray to Govardhan that he does not go into an ecstasy. Let us pray that he remains sober. Otherwise, if he goes into ecstasy, we will all be crushed under him. According to Kavi Karnapur, in the Anand Vrindavan Champu, one gopi, she cries out to Srimati Radharani and said, please do not move your eyebrow. Because when you move your eyebrows, Krishna loses his balance. And if he loses his balance, he will drop down the Govardhan on us. Please, Radharani, don't move your eyebrows. Krishna gazed at Srimati Radharani. And it is explained in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Srila Prabhupada tells the story and Radharani is glancing at Krishna and Krishna is glancing at Radharani and they became so ecstatic and seeing her beauty, which is a manifestation of her love, he began to perspire and tremble. He became pale. And what did the gopas think? They thought he is trembling and he is perspiring and he become pale because he has become weak carrying the Govardhan hill. So what do they do? All the elderly gopas, they had the sticks with them, so they are holding the Govardhan, trying to support it. They are thinking that Krishna may not be able to do it alone by himself. So they are trying to do it. Madhumangal laughs at them. They say, you know who is Krishna? He is the brother of Balaram, who is the strongest of them all. And what will your sticks do? You are just scratching the bottom of the whole Govardhan Hill. It is useless. Yashoda says, Krishna, it has been so many days you have been holding this hill. You must be hungry. I have brought some soft cakes and yogurt cream. Would you like to have some? Madhumangal says, it's a good idea. Even I am feeling hungry. Mother, please bring out those goodies and we'd all like to have it. Krishna says, I am not hungry. If you want to feed me, you may feed me. So Yashoda is asking Subal, since Krishna is holding Govardhan in one hand and the flute in the other, you please take this morsel of food and feed him in his mouth. What was going on above the hill? All these things were going on below the hill. Above the hill, Indra became very, very angry. Very angry. So many days of incessant rain and no results. No results. He got this information that the Brijavasis are having a gala party below the Govardhan. So that made him even more angry. He's pushing the Samvartha clouds. Go, go, go. And he's throwing his thunderbolts. On the Govardhan Hill, because it is in contact with the little finger of Krishna, the deers were moving about as if nothing has happened. The parrots and the birds were flying from plant to plant, from tree to tree, from branch to branch. The bees were buzzing, the insects were crawling. In spite of that heavy rain, because it was connected to Krishna, they did not feel the slightest discomfort. And Govardhan himself, he was enjoying. He said, I'm having such a beautiful abhishek over here. While this was going on above the hill, what was happening under the hill? Kavi Karnapur explains, by the way, no, we don't have that much time. Kavi Karnapur explains that there was this storm above the hill and there was a storm under the hill. Krishna's bluish body was like a rain cloud. His peacock feather was like a rainbow. The glance of the gopis and the yellow dhoti of Krishna were like the lightning. And the beauty was manifesting while unlimited torrential storm of love was showering upon the residents of Vrindavan. And they were inundated by that beauty and love. By the mercy of Giriraj, all the Brijavasis enjoyed endless happiness. Do you know these days they talk about 24/7? What is 24/7? 24 hours of the day for 7 days together. This was the initial 24/7. For 7 days, Krishna was holding that Govardhan and he was exchanging the rasas. In Shantaras, with the cows, the deers, the peacocks and the parrots. In Dasyaras, Raktak, Patrak were serving him. Sakhyaras, Subal, Sridhama, Madhumangal, they were laughing, joking, patting his back, having fun. Madhuryaras, Srimati Radharani and the gopis, through their loving glances, were exchanging it. And Vatsalya Ras, the elder gopas and the gopis, they were smelling his head, they were blessing him, and they were always concerned about his well-being. The inhabitants of Vrindavan and their animals remained there for 1 week without being disturbed by hunger, thirst, or any other discomfort. They were simply astonished to see how Krishna was holding up the mountain with the little finger of his left hand. Despite Indra's fury, for 7 days, he could not move a single grain of dust from Govardhan Hill. There were millions of trees on Govardhan, but with all the winds and cyclones and tornadoes, Indra did not have the power to remove a single leaf from any of those trees. Ultimately, the Samvata clouds, they were exhausted. They ran out of rain. There was no more water left in them. They fell at the feet of Indra, admitted their total defeat, and Indra's pride was totally crushed. He was bragging in his court in front of all the apsaras and his wives that I am going to Vrindavan and I am going to destroy them. And now he had no face to show them. What would he tell them? It is explained that of the three things which a person can have, Kanaka Kamini and Pratishtha. Of course, Indra still had his Kanaka and Kamini, but his Pratishtha was completely destroyed. His prestige took a horrible beating. In that state of mind, he approached his spiritual master, Brihaspati. Brihaspati said, you should take advice from Brahmaji. And Brahmaji said, you have committed such an offense. Nobody can save you. The only way is to beg forgiveness from Lord Krishna. But please don't go alone. Take with you someone who is very dear to Krishna. So Indra, he approaches Surabhi, a cow. Can you imagine? King of the heavens approaching a cow, a humble, simple cow, and requesting her that please come with me and we will go to Krishna. I have realized my mistake. I have understood that Krishna is the supreme. I am just a subordinate. I want to go and apologize to him and offer my prayers to him. Surabhi takes him to Krishna. Surabhi approaches Krishna and says, actually, Indra is your devotee. He, in his pride, had committed all these offenses. And now, here he is. He wants to apologize to you and he wants to beg for forgiveness. When Krishna heard that, he immediately forgave Indra. At this point of time, because we have only 5 more minutes left, we cannot go into details of all these descriptions. But there is this last part which I would definitely like to narrate. Surabhi, she is praying to Krishna. Although Indra tried his best to kill my descendants, the cows in Vrindavan, they remained under your shelter and you have protected them also well. So Surabhi is also praying to Krishna and declaring that for us, Krishna, you are the real Indra. We do not know any other demigod or god. For us, you are the real Indra. O Lord of the universe, let us bathe you with our milk. For you are our Indra. O Lord, you appear just to diminish the burden of impure activities on this earth. Then the Surabhi cow bathed Krishna with her milk. And Indra, he bathed him with the water of the celestial Ganges through the trunk of his carrier, Airavat elephant. The milk and the water from the Abhishek formed what is today known as the Govinda Kund. They came here. They came to Govinda Kund, the great demigods, to perform Abhishek and to coronate Krishna as Govinda, the king, the real Indra, the king of all the universes. Here they performed the Abhishek and so much wonderful puja. Varuna, he appeared and offered a celestial umbrella. Vayu, he offered the chamara fans. Agni offered the incense. Chandra, he offered a beautiful bejeweled mirror for the Lord to see himself. Lord Brahma, he came as the head priest. Lord Shiva, he came to give his blessings. With the permission of Shiva and under the direction of Lord Brahma, it is explained that Surabhi, along with seven chaste women, wives of sages and rishis of the earth, they all performed a beautiful, beautiful Abhishek ceremony of Lord Krishna. Panchajanya, he came to blow the conch shell. Sudarshan, he came and he illumined all the directions. Krishna's club, Kaumudika, guarded the area. Personified rivers, oceans and lakes, they brought all the auspicious waters. Bhumi Devi, Mother Earth, she brought a golden box full of precious herbs. Garuda, he spread his wings and he formed a canopy. The Nagas, they spread their hoods like flags. And this beautiful ceremony was going on while the personified Vedas were chanting the hymns. Airavat came with Akash Ganga and the Apsaras were dancing while the Gandharvas sang and played musical instruments. It was at this time that Brahma offered Panchamrita and performed the Arati. He then placed a crown on Krishna's head and formally declared that Krishna is the supreme Indra. He is the Lord of all universes. After the demigods completed their worship, they offered their obeisances and returned to their respectable abodes. Now watch the fun. Friends of Krishna, who were missing him for some time, came looking for him and the cows. And Krishna was sitting on this stone, beautifully decorated, all this paraphernalia lying around him. When these gopas, they came, they picked up the paraphernalia, they picked up the chamara, they picked up the arati, and as if playing with Krishna, they offered this puja to him in a very sweet manner, which had no tinge of awe and reverence. This is Vrindavan. This is Vrindavan, where the residents of Vrindavan do not know and do not reciprocate with Lord Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For them, he is one of them. He is someone whom they play with. He is someone whom they share jokes with. He is someone, when he loses in a game, he has to carry them on his back. This is Vrindavan. The residents of Vrindavan, they are amazed sometimes that how is Krishna able to perform so many wonderful activities. He killed Putana. He killed so many demons. He subdued Kalia. But at the same time, when he feels hungry, he runs to Mother Yashoda and says, I am feeling hungry, please feed me. In the middle of the night, when there is thundering, he is so much frightened of the loud thunder that he runs and hides in his mother's lap. He is the same Krishna who is performing these wonderful activities. Nanda Maharaj, please tell us, who is this Krishna? We are not able to fathom him. For us, he is just another child. Nanda Maharaj says, when Garga Rishi had come for the naming ceremony, at that time, he had told me that this child is not ordinary. He is born in a different color in every millennium, white, red, yellow. And in this millennium, he has come in a Shyam Varna. And he told me he is nothing less than Narayan. Although the Brijavasis, they hear these things, but once again, they are covered by Yoga Maya and they enjoy and participate in the next pastime of Lord Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Giriraj Govardhan ki. One small thing. It is a small verse by a Muslim poet who was a devotee of Lord Krishna. He tries to explain in this one verse. Shesh Mahesh Ganesh Dinesh Suresh Hu Jahi Nirantara Gave. This is Ras Khan. Ras Khan was a Pathan and he was so enamored by Krishna that he just gave his entire life in Vrindavan. Shesh Mahesh Ganesh Dinesh Suresh Hu Jahu Nirantara Gave Jahi Anadi Ananta Akhanda Acheda Abeda Subeda Batave Narad Se Shuk Vyasa Rate Pachi Harita Puni Parapara Pave Tahi Ahira Ke Chori and Se Chachiyabara Chachape Nachana Chave. Krishna, whose glories Shesha is singing through his millions of tongues for millions of years. Mahesha, Lord Shiva, Ganesha, Dinesha, Suresha, Indra. They are all constantly singing his glories. It is impossible to fathom who he is. Some say he is Anadi, some say he is Ananta, some say he is Akhanda, some say he is Acheda, some say he is Abeda. Some say he's Subeda. It is difficult to fathom him. And Narada se Shuka Vyasa Rate. Narada, Shuka, Vyasa, they are all chanting about him. And the same Krishna, when he goes in the jungles, Tahi Ahir ke Choriya. Ahir is the aborigines, something like the Adivasis of today. They are teenage girls. Daughters, they ask Krishna, do you want to have little chas? You know what is chas? It is buttermilk. It is the cheapest form of milk. And this one cupful of buttermilk, they say, we will give you only if you dance before us. Hare Krishna. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. Srila Prabhupada ki.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Please be seated. There are a few announcements. This is